Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Chat Room with Tony Wolfpaw.
Good morning, everyone. This is Tony Wolfpaw for The Chat Room, and today we have from Green Power Science, Dan Rojas and Denise Rojas. You have seen them on National Geographic and on Doomsday Preppers, but they also own the largest solar channel on YouTube that has a lot of hits, okay? I love these videos because there's a lot of, first of all, science, and I just love it. I looked at them. I always watch these. I've learned a lot of the power of the sun, and I just love the way it is executed. You have to take a good listen to this show, especially those people that are living in eco villages. We already communicated with two of them, and they're pretty much listening and tuning into the show. I know that as soon as this show, there must be, I'm thinking, and that's the way I'm visualizing this thing, because they have the, you know, the Wi-Fi and all this. There's people sitting around the laptops right now and listening to this show. Because there's a lot of science that, well applied, is something that could be very useful for each and every one of us, because it is proven. It is proven. But we have to be very careful with this, and it should be handled with responsibility, with care, because we're going to talk a little bit about the power of the sun, amongst other things. Okay, so we have an expert. We have the people from Green Power Science with us today, Dan Rojas and Denise Rojas. And I shared a little of videos with for you guys, so you can see it on the social medias that we use. And well, good morning. First of all, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for having us on your show.
Well, thank you for making such incredible documentaries of the power of the sun. I see that there's a lot of science with this, and I want to know how this whole idea came apart. How did this begin?
I started working with solar projects. We live in Florida, just some solar hot water heaters, 20 years ago, and a lot of the initial projects were just direct solar thermal or redirecting flat mirrors. When I came across my first large Fresnel lens, it was powerful, but it wasn't as powerful as some of the other ones that we eventually came across. And just experimenting with the different processes, we had a lot of ideas that we were building up, and we were considering a website, and then YouTube came along, and people had the ability to share their videos without having to go through one of the networks and jump through all the hoops that you have to do to be on network television. So it started there, and it's just grown over the years.
I see that that you, when you create your videos, one of the things that called my attention, just to start with, how the way you use that dome, and you kind of like extracted that water, you captured that water there out of the earth. I know that you know which one I'm talking about, right? I think that the plastic dome or glass dome was put on grass or something. I must have lost your call. Okay, I lost his call. So this is we're gonna wait for them to reconnect with us, and it's the video I shared. You can see, Dan, how the water all of a sudden, it's like the condensation of the water just filled that dome, and he was able to even drink from that. Okay, we're talking about things that little science projects that can be applied. Now, when talking about the bigger ones, okay, we're gonna wait for them to reconnect. The bigger projects, with the Fresnel lens and all that is something that we'll be talking and discussing with them, okay? So if you guys are listening to us right now, his call dropped, so we're looking forward. Okay, they're back again. We're live, folks. We are live. Okay, you're back again. Did you kind of heard the question, right? About the dome and okay. These projects, these little things that you make, and just like when you guys appeared on Doomsday Preppers, I like the self-sufficiency of it. Now, I like also the fact that you also keep all of your reels and you even show your bloopers. It's very educational and very entertaining of videos. I like the one, this is the one of the first ones that I saw, the ones that you had that dome and you collected the water from the earth.
Okay. Yeah, the what that is that's a polycarbonate dome. So anytime if you've ever laid a sheet of, you can do this with a sheet of plastic or just about anything. You need to have humidity, of course. The ground needs to have some moisture and the dew point has to be right. But when you put that on there and you get the temperature inversion or the temperature change, you can collect nice amounts of water. It's you can't get a ton of water, but it's a good backup system to have. It's not going to work in a very, very dry climate, but it does work pretty good where we're at in Florida, where we have high humidity and there's a lot of the ground's all usually moist year-round. So
I do know that the other projects that you do also with the Fresnel lens, that I must say I enjoyed watching also of how quickly you were able to melt metal. I live here in the desert area. I live in West Texas and a high desert zone. And also, I think there are the people that live up in the San Carlos, up in that area, that it's almost like, we're like in the desert region right now. A good Fresnel lens and projects like that can be very helpful. I saw you burning and melting things. It's. I want people to know that that's not a toy to play with. We're applying all the precautions and all the. It's pure science, but it's something that people can use, like for recycling things, right?
Yeah, the most important thing to pay attention to is we put disclaimers on stuff, letting them know that it's not a toy, it's not for kids, don't use it near your house, have an open area. It's like a furnace. It's like having a blowtorch or a furnace. You wouldn't responsibly go do that in a very dry area where there's dry brush everywhere or let your kid play with it or leave it on with your pets around. So it's the one of the things that happens with projects like this is that it's cool and it seems rather just something that's fun, but it's a very powerful tool. It is a lot of fun with the right care. So eye protection, an open area that's protected from no flammable materials around, nothing that's going to cause a problem. And when you store the lens, if you happen to have a lens and you store it, you cover it up and you store it inside, away from windows. I've seen people talk about putting them on their roofs of their houses, and they've uploaded videos saying they were going to heat their. And that's just not smart because, if you have wind, the lenses are large flat sheets of acrylic, so they can blow around and end up in an odd position. And we've been, preaching this to people ever since we started, because one of the things that people do is they get really excited about something and then they might set it down and forget about it for a year. It's nothing. It's not like that. It's something that you have to. It's a powerful solar tool, and when you use it the right way, we've been over 15 years, and we store them away. We keep them when we're not using them. We have peace of mind that they're not going to do anything that they shouldn't. And when we're out using them, we don't have our dogs running around us, or we focus. So it's just like any power tool or something. You want to just at least have a focus. It's not like extremely dangerous. It's like cooking with a barbecue grill. That's it can be like that, more or less. It's the same kind of precautions. So
it's interesting how, because we've seen the melting of metal, and we've seen you melt the same metal in seconds.
It's the focal point on the lenses of the concentrated sunlight can reach 2,000, 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit in a matter of seconds, just because the depending on the material that you're focusing it on. And the metal, the mass of the metal has to, the larger the mass, the more that it's going to sink heat out into the atmosphere. So the smaller amounts of metal melt really fast. You might see videos of people melting zinc pennies, and they instantly burn, and the zinc burns away. We've never done that, but that's something that can definitely be done in a matter of a few seconds. And that's just because a penny is such a small mass of metal. And any dark metal, like zinc's a shiny metal, but it's got they put that thin copper coating on the newer pennies. So the reason metals like that go fast is that you've got a dark surface layer, and the zinc is overwhelmed by the heat. So steel, like copper braided wire, any steel fragments, dust particle, steel sanding, those melt really fast. Even though they're steel, they might have a melting point of 2,700 degrees Fahrenheit, but they'll melt instantly because they're a very small, they've got a very small surface area. So once they become like a big glob of metal, then it becomes difficult to melt that off. So you couldn't put like a chunk of steel under there and melt it. You can put small pieces of steel and melt it. It's just the way that the Fresnel lenses work. So they've got this power, but they don't have the overwhelming power like a high-end blowtorch would have or something like that. But you're not using any fuel simultaneously. And if you hybrid them with the system, like say you've got like an electric furnace, or you have some sort of arc torch, or then adding the Fresnel lens to where you've got a combination of the two, you can do things that requires tens of thousands of dollars of equipment to achieve the same results, because you're hitting something with two different sources. It's just really incredible to do, and it can be done with like a rocket stove too. Where the heat's channeled. We're working on that, where we've got like a real high powered rocket stove, and it channels the heat to a specific area. So you have the combination of the Fresnel lens and the exhaust coming right through the area that we're working on. So what that does is that the rocket stove is going to give it the thermal, the mass thermal heating, and the Fresnel, that'll keep the project hot. It won't be hot as the Fresnel lens can get it, but it'll allow the lens to not, it'll do larger masses of metal that way. So you can form like steel or larger, like up to 8 ounces. So we're working towards larger and larger amounts of metal, but it definitely works very, very fast. You can melt glass. The highest temperature that we've gotten so far is about 3,800 degrees Fahrenheit, and that's a build temperature. So,
interesting is that all of these things that we're talking about, and I saw the way you were building your structures, I see that you are these like prototypes maybe systems that you're building and you're going to make available for people, or you're just building these things for yourself?
Most of the stuff that we do is on an open source basis, where someone, if they want to build it, we've got so some of the supplies we have on our website, like some of the Fresnel lenses. But generally, any of the structures or any of the ideas, it's up to the individual to do it. It's not like an end consumer product that we're looking for, because there's a lot of, if you put something on the market as an end consumer product, there's a lot of safety features and things that you have to consider. So we put it out there for inventors. A lot of people are going, using our technology or using even stuff from videos that we've done. They're taking parts of that and they're applying for patents. And then they're getting, through their process, the idea may have originated from our website or from something that we've done or a Fresnel lens that we've sold them, but they're going towards getting funding on their own end, and it's their own project. So they can take one specific thing and work on that. It's the we don't really focus on being like an inventor of a product that everybody's going to have in their household. We focus on putting the ideas out there for those products, and it's a little bit different approach than we would have to pick one of the 200 different projects that we've done and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to be what we put all of our focus on and get a patent on it and take it to market. And that's just not it's not as much fun, but it's also it just kind of defeats the purpose of having an open source thing. So if somebody pulls an idea from something that we've done and they go through all the work of patenting it and become millionaires, I hope they send me a nice Christmas gift. But other than that, we just like putting the projects out there. And Denise does, she specializes in the solar cooking.
I saw that too. I saw how the solar cooking was done very quickly. The two that I saw, I think I saw the grilled cheese one, and you were it was the Thanksgiving. So Denise, I know Denise is with us also.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. That was pretty quick on doing that. I mean, of course, it just took seconds. Now,
yeah.
How is it that you were able to control that heat, or is it still something that you're working on? You know, whether it's like high or low heat. I was thinking about that this morning.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought that up, because depending on how strong the sun is, if there's no clouds, the concentrated sun on a cast iron pan, when you're cooking something, it'll get extremely hot, so hot that if I don't move something around, it will burn. It's a little bit more, it's a touch feel type of thing compared to on a regular stove would be. When you're using solar cooking, it takes a little bit of practice, but once you start getting the feel of like the pan getting warm, to the point where it's hot, you have to take it from the hot spot or like the focal point of the sun, move it away. It still generates that heat that's built up in the pan, and it still will be cooking the food. So I would have to go back and forth in the sun and instantly take it off, because it'll start, anything that I would put on a cast iron pan would start burning. Same thing with the boiling water. It's amazing how fast the sun can actually cause something that it take it for granted. I mean, it's the heat of the sun, but what it can do to actually simple applications of cooking is quite amazing.
And it's all well done. It's all well. I mean, you have to. Are you able to do other things with it besides the ones that we saw, baked bread or something?
We did. There was a Thanksgiving dinner that we made. Anything, obviously, if it's in water, boiling potatoes is easy, rice, stuff like that. We fried a turkey in peanut oil, but we also had this, we're still perfecting it, where it's somewhat of an oven that would keep the heat in and use still the sun to be able to bake. So I wouldn't say big cakes and things like that, but let's say like little buns and things like that. That's all very possible.
a Dutch oven style unit would work. The thing that a lot of people overlook or they confuse with Fresnel lenses or parabolic mirrors is they think that they amplify the sunlight that is absorbed into the target, and all that they really do is concentrate it. So if you had a 3-foot by 3-foot Fresnel lens, it's got 9 square feet of collection area, then if you were to focus that on a 3-foot by 3-foot steel plate, it's not going to do anything because you're concentrating, you're pretty much putting a big shade over that steel plate, and you're concentrating it just to the center of the steel plate. So the steel plate by itself would absorb the same sunlight without the lens. So what you have to do is decide if your oven, let's say you've got like a 16-inch or 14-inch by 8-inch by 8-inch Dutch oven that you've got bread in, then your Fresnel lens would have to be at least 3 to 4 times that area. And you don't just focus it down to the spot. When you asked about controlling the heat, one of the ways that Denise does that is she'll move in and out of the focal point with the pan because you just move it out and it starts to drop the temperature. But the other way is to adjust the focal length. So instead of having that really concentrated spot on the bottom of, say, a 10-inch cast iron skillet, you move the mirror closer if you're using a parabolic mirror or the Fresnel lens closer, and it creates a wider focal pattern. So you don't have a 3,000-degree potential spot. You have an area that's squared out so that it covers a lot more area, but the temperatures drop rapidly. So a pan might have a potential of being 300 degrees instead of having one small area that's 3,000. But it's one of the things with the sun is that the build temperatures are, the potentials are a lot greater because an electric burner has a set top limit that the coils can get before it starts to decompose and destroy. And that a stove, it's kind of like a stove with or a blowtorch with a height, that amount of potential, but you're not using it at the full. So you try to work in between. So with baking, the trick with baking is to get the temperature all the way around, and that would get the heat to the inside. So a lot of the heat wants to rise. That's just the way that it works. So you have to some people have used a parabolic mirror on the bottom to heat the bottom of like a Dutch oven, and then move, and then they've got the inside. They'll rotate it and and store the heat. So heavy cast iron is really good about storing heat, and the nice thing about that is you can preheat it, and it'll stay without any additional sunlight. It might stay 200 degrees in the center, like to 220 degrees for 15-20 minutes. So if you preheat it, you let it build up, and then you hit sunlight, then you can really cook bread fast. We've done it some, but it's we haven't actually done a video on that yet, other than we made some biscuits. So.
And well, they came out really good, and the whole Thanksgiving dinner was really fun to make, quite memorable, being that we used strictly the power of the sun to create our dinner. It was fun and different.
Your videos are very fun to watch, and one thing is that they're conserving energy using the power of the sun, because these are things that could be very practical if you are in a self-sufficient, let's call it, environment where you, without using fuel of any kind, will use just the power of the sun. The moment that you have that good sun and you have a good lens, and you have to see that there is a setup, because there's a distance to get that focal point right, as we've noticed on the different videos that Dan has put out there for everyone to see. For you guys in the chat room, it's not the same. I mean, a Fresnel lens is not the same as a magnifying glass, but picture a magnifying glass when you when you're looking for that high focal point, and it starts to, you know, you see that bright light, and that bright light starts to burn the paper. Okay, I saw a video of Dan. I think it was you were with a cup of coffee, and you were able to make a. I mean, you put some. You put like a plastic on it, and you were sitting under the sun. You guys, I can see you love to sit under the sun a lot. You were sitting under the sun, and you were able to create something with that cup of coffee, as you were explaining, and you were able to burn that leaf or something that you were burning with that. You were able to concentrate that energy, and this is all that we're talking about right now. You make good use of the Fresnel lens, and I'm thinking, since you mentioned about the pots of storing that heat, are you able to use the power of the sun, let's say, to power your electricity, but to conserve that charge during the night?
Well, with the Fresnel lenses and a parabolic mirror, that's solar thermal. For cooking applications and for certain types of melting applications, they are very efficient for that. Converting the thermal energy into electrical energy is not. As efficient. It's a lot more complicated that the next step to go to like a steam engine, to a generator or an alternator. So we use just regular PV solar panels, photovoltaic panels for that, and to collect the sunlight. And then for like the hot water, hot shower water, we have a small electric heater that does our heating applications, but we also have the black hose stretched out that offers it most of the, whenever it's sunny out, we've got hot water from about 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock or even a little bit later than that. So if we use during the day, and then the electric comes in at night. But the idea is to use like a full approach of things. So a lot of people are looking to use steam engines or the Stirling engines because it's really amazing that you can take concentrated sunlight and get energy motion. But when we started doing those videos, a solar panel was like $600. So now a solar panel is $100, and it's difficult to. It's better to just have a solar panel that's quiet, no moving parts, charges your battery, has a charge controller built into it. You plug it to your battery and it charges it, and then to have a lens that you have to worry about blowing over and starting a fire or some, you know, an engine running for 10, 12 hours a day. And there's just a lot of upkeep with the other systems. So the no moving parts thing for the electrical portion of it is pretty much the way to go with that. And the solar panels that we buy them ourselves off the internet. You know, we don't really sell those or anything. But I tell people, you know, if you're doing electricity, it's a noble project to go and try to convert a Stirling engine into something that you can incorporate into your daily usage, but it's not very practical because that engine's running for 10, 12 hours a day. So the solar panels, they make it rather easy for.
I see that. Something just came to my mind right now. You know, the size of these Fresnel lenses come in different sizes, right? And I'm thinking, which are the ones that you use the most, or does size matter when it comes to the Fresnel lens?
Well, the neat thing, like you had mentioned earlier about the cup of coffee, starting a fire with the cup of coffee, the Mylar that was vacuumed down into there. To start a fire, you can use a tiny magnifying glass or a little Fresnel lens because their focal point it just has to be very small, and as you get bigger, like the larger the lens, the focal point becomes a little bit bigger as the lens gets larger because it's got to do with focal lengths and optics. But the bigger the lens is, the more sunlight that it's able to redirect to an area. So the power, view it as kind of an oven. The power, a 5,000-watt oven, let's say, would be a 5-meter Fresnel lens, an area. So to 5,000 watts of energy, the big lens can concentrate. A small one, like one that you see, like you might have a little 8-by-10-page magnifier, people will take them and they're like, well, look, it's just as powerful. It catches a leaf on fire just as fast. It's got the ability to, like a little small lens can start a fire real fast, but if you try to cook something with that little 8-by-10-page magnifier, you're never going to do anything because the pan that you're cooking in is the same size as the lens. So you may as well just set the pan out in the sun. So the smaller the lens, the power comes down, even though we've got some bigger lenses that have kind of a dull focal point. When I say that, I mean that they don't have the sharp focal point to melt metal. It's spread over a wider area. Those lenses have 15, 20, 30 times the power of a page magnifier. But if you put the two side by side, the page magnifier will catch the leaves on fire right away. The other one will just smolder them. So it's kind of like I was mentioning with the oven. Like the big lenses, they've got the power. They're like an oven. And small Fresnel lenses are kind of like a lighter. So you can start a fire really quickly with the lighter. You try it with an oven, it takes a while for it to build up the temperature. So it's they're two totally different things. You can't cook with the lighter, but you can definitely cook with an oven. And that's so the larger the lens, the more the power, the overall power that you're going to get. We use the smaller ones because they might have a better optics. And when I say smaller, I'm talking 20 inches by 30 inches or 20. We don't usually go below a 24 by 24 lens, because once you start getting below that, you don't really have the ability to really do much with it other than start a fire more or less. And that's just one of the things. So the larger lenses, the bigger they are, the more power that they're going to have, and the bigger pan that you'll be able to heat, the larger amount of water you'll be able to boil, the quicker it's going to do things. But anything over 24 inch by 24 inch up, that size is a very good lens to use for projects.
Well, we also have the parabolic mirrors too, and those are quite beneficial with solar applications. Dan, which ones did you recommend on that app?
Well, the neat thing about the parabolic mirrors is that like a 17-inch or a 20, the 13-inch, they come in like different sizes, but like a 17-inch parabolic mirror can cook on a 6-inch skillet. And that's just because it's the parabolic mirrors have the way that they work, their optics, your bottom heating, so you can heat a lot more efficient. But the parabolic mirrors are generally used for cooking applications, and they go all the way up big too. But the same thing's true for them, like 17, 24. That's works really well. So in terms of like the Fresnel lenses and the parabolic mirrors, you want something, whatever you're doing, if you're cooking, like for cooking applications, you want to be at least 3 to 4 times the sun area to the size of the pan. So if that makes sense, if you have a 8-inch by 8-inch pan, then you'd want to have at least 4 times that amount of sunlight coming on it. So you would square that out, and that would be your concentration factor. That would be the minimum. So, and then you can go up from there.
I know that you guys were on National Geographic and also on Doomsday Preppers. And I'm thinking about these shows that are about survival. I know the guys in the chat room have seen, and probably you guys have seen, Naked and Afraid, when they give you the choice.
I've seen that show. We like it. It's interesting.
Have you noticed that?
I thought
nobody
it was
asked?
Corny at first, but boy, you take putting a couple that are strangers and put them in nature without any clothes. I don't know how they can handle the bugs and all the obstacles. It's quite a challenge.
But I see this. They have a choice of choosing something that will help them survive the days that they're going to be out there. And I've seen them, well, I'm going to take a knife. I'm going to bring a pot and pan. I'm going to get some rope. And I'm thinking, okay, a compass. All right, fine. And nobody, I haven't seen one, you know, I'm going to get a Fresnel lens, you know. We need fire. No, they're rubbing, wood and trying to go like the old school. Now, if we were to put you both out there, not of course, not Naked and Afraid, but well, your husband and wife, that'll be cool. But if you were both out there, right, out there, what will be the perfect tool? And you got more than one that you can choose. We got to think about the conservation of water, how to provide ourselves with the fire, with the heat, and also what will you take? What will you both take with you if you were like put out there in the wild right now?
Well, I would consider a Fresnel lens or possibly a parabolic mirror, but it would depend on the environment. You know, that's a very specific that question could be. There's 100 different things you could take. If you're in the desert, you would use a different approach than if you're in Florida, because here if somebody just assuming that you were even half naked and afraid in Florida at nighttime, the mosquitoes they wouldn't be able. I can't imagine how anyone would be able to survive one night in an area where there's a mosquito population, because it's just it's nonstop. I mean, it is just.
We'll even get mosquitoes here in the winter. I mean, we've had some cold snaps, and it doesn't kill them off. I mean, it slows them down, but the summer is just crazy. And every summer we think it keeps getting worse, but that would be our main problem. I was thinking about that, though, Dan, because we've seen this show before, and it does bring up an interesting point. Why aren't they thinking of using the power of the sun? But, you know, some of those areas are in remote, tropical where it's almost impossible to even get sun.
Well, if you were by like the beach setting where they're seeking water constantly, if you had a Fresnel lens of even a decent, say, or a parabolic mirror that was 17 inches, 13, if you've got time, they sit there for 5 or 6 days getting a couple drops of water or catching one a fish, and they go 10 days without eating. That if you've got that much time, then you can go smaller. You know, when I say you need a decent lens, that's for practical home use. It doesn't make sense to solar cook your food in 16 hours. You know, but if you're out there in the middle of nowhere, then they would be able to boil water. They could distill ocean water. That you can sterilize instruments. If you cut yourself, you've got the ability to. I don't recommend it, but you can even put concentrated sunlight on. You have to really know what you're doing, and it's not. It would be do every other line of defense, antibiotics and topical solutions. But you could actually flash a wound with it. You know, it just.
Whoa, would, like Rambo.
Yeah, exactly. Like when he burned himself. That it's the same principle, but you've got concentrated ultraviolet light too. It's not something that a therapy center should open up for therapeutic purposes. I mean, unless they really researched it. But it's like, you know, you're talking out in the middle of nowhere, survival, and you just cut your foot and infection's building up. What do you do? You know, that's one of the things. So you definitely there's a lot of stuff that I see on the show that's unique to each environment that they walk right past.
Well, the biggest problem I see is that people don't have access to getting food and water quick enough. Like, let's say we were out and we had to survive and we had access to a small, powerful Fresnel lens and a small parabolic mirror. We would be able to, just as long as we have enough sun, we would be able to survive. We'd be able to cleanse our water, boil water, and be able to cook. And that's saying that we don't have the big mirrors and the big parabolic mirrors. We would have to scale it down. We'd still be able to at least be able to cook and do something for water.
You know, one of the things that, you know, with the cool thing about reality shows is that, you know, I don't know what that show in particular, but they might make decisions that don't really seem... The first thing that you do is... go, because they've got the peace of mind that there's a crew there with them in the event that, so some of their ideas are a little bit more out there than they normally would be, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, all they do is tap out of the show and they're on a plane back to, you know, get medical treatment or whatever, rehydrated. So it's not like they're really alone out there all by themselves. And the first thing you do is you look for shelter, and then the second thing is it depends. Like, shelter is important because it'll keep you from dehydrating, overheating, all those things, getting bit by something, and then the water is the second thing, because you can go a long time without food. And then from there you work on the food source, but the. So I see them, you know, killing a snake, and it's they get like an ounce of meat out of it. It doesn't. They sit there, and I've seen like one. The guy sat with a stick and poked a lizard for 14 hours. That's just like, what? You can do so much more with your time.
We've actually enjoyed watching that show, and it does bring up some interesting points. You know, what would we do? Or what could somebody do better? But yeah, I think the drama and having it more of a reality entertainment type of, they're probably tossing a lot of obstacles in their way just to make it more exciting.
I'll give them this. I wouldn't want to walk in our backyard barefoot.
No.
It's just because there's, if you're not used to it, that's the first thing. And then if you just walk through our backyard with the shirt off and just no shoes, it changes your perspective really quickly on stuff. And to be completely, you know, no clothes on going through, so I can't even. I've seen them covered in bug, like no-see-ums, and it's just how. Regardless of, you know, it takes a lot of guts to go on that show, and it takes a lot of. So even the ones that seem like they probably aren't. Doing,
I give them all credit.
Yeah, I give them credit.
I would never want to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I would. It'd probably be. It does take a lot of. It just takes a lot to do that. You know, you've got a shirt and pants on. It changes things. So
to get back to your question, what would we bring? We would hope that we would be stuck in an area where there was sun. And if there was sun, that we'd be able to at least be able to start a fire with a small Fresnel lens or a parabolic mirror and get some clean water. But other than that, be a lousy opportunity to be on a reality show.
I saw the different, like, I saw the greenhouse, like, that you did. Was that with the cellophane paper? You did with plastic, something like that? I saw that.
Oh, is that the Swain, Dan, the
no,
clear?
No, that's just a regular pallet wrap. Like, you can
buy.
You can buy pallet wrap that, it's used for shipping. And a roll of it's like $5 to $10 for a 1,500 feet of it. And
it'd be like what Saran wrap is, but just a little thicker and longer.
Right. It's like a double-sized roll, triple thickness of Saran wrap. And the nice thing about that is if you have a structure, instead of having to cut this queen, which is like a semi-transparent material, line it up, you just put this it's like you're wrapping a big package. You don't want to do it too tight because it can squeeze in on. But you just wrap it around and overlap it, and you might get a little bit of rain that collects in there, but it's not a big deal. It's not like, but the nice thing about it is you can wrap an area in like 15 minutes that would normally take you 5, 6, 7 hours, and the pallet wrap is very tolerant to ultraviolet light, so it doesn't degrade. And we've had something wrapped for over a year, and we only took the plastic off that we wrapped it with because we needed to use it for something else. So that we use the structure for something else. But we've got some small greenhouses that are covered with the traditional visqueen, which is the plastic material that stuff lasts maybe a year and a half. It cracks. It starts losing its it gets white, like less transparent, and so we like the other the pallet wrap just because it's.
Dan, I remember doing a video where it was freezing cold, right? And
yes.
We were inside, and what was the temperature difference? It actually held the heat.
Yeah, it was like 40 degree difference. So we put.
It was amazing the amount of it stayed so much warmer inside the greenhouse.
And that structure that we built, we had like 40-mile-an-hour winds and that night from a storm, and it blew everything all over our yard. But the greenhouse, it's like 400-pound wooden frame structure, moved about 8 feet in our yard, and it didn't flip over. But the pallet wrap didn't rip, it didn't tear, nothing. It held up fine. And once the cold front went through, and it was like 38 degrees or 40 degrees out in the afternoon, which is kind of, that's cold for Florida and at that time of day, it was like 68 degrees, 70 degrees inside. So we also put like a 50 gallon barrel filled with water in there. So that drum of water was like a thermal, kind of like a thermal ballast that gradually lets the heat out. And
you guys are constantly inventing all of these things, and you get all of these ideas that it's so practical. And when you look at the things that are out there that are so expensive, and yet how you can come up with something that does even more, twice better the job for a fraction, for such a fraction of a cost. Do you guys do workshops? Do you do other conferences out there?
I've done some Skype, just some Skype consulting for companies like solar thermal plants and energy companies for that are using they're hybriding their systems, but as far as I've never done anything where it's been where people come over and they have like a workshop where they can learn this or try that or
they will love it. I tell you something that you guys have so much information. Is Green Power Science available in DVD that people can purchase?
We've considered doing that. Right now it's just videos on YouTube, but we've considered putting like all the different stuff to DVDs and getting it to where if somebody doesn't want to wade through the internet for stuff, then everything's there like a DVD set. We've got 400 videos, so there's like 4,000 minutes of, or I think 3,800 minutes of information that we put out there. So it'd be a nice DVD set. But
it would be a nice DVD also. And if you guys have a step-by-step book, it will also be awesome too, because Green Power Science is something that it's a must-have. I'm not saying it because you guys are there. This is where I started looking at your videos. I like to do little sculptures, and I was looking at something that will help me melt a metal, and I wanted to do it in something that was aluminum. And it's not, and I was looking from here to there, different things on YouTube, because many people look at YouTube for reference, and I'm one of them. And then I came across the one that I saw that you were melting things, and how quick was that? And now, the thing that I saw with you versus the others that I was seeing, the others that I was seeing were a little bit more complicated in the making, that required used a propane tank that they had to cut off and then put some concrete mixture of some sort on the side, and putting the blowtorch with the tubing on the end. But I saw that. Cool, awesome. But when I saw you do the same thing with a Fresnel lens, it made more sense that science, using the power of the sun, and no propane, no other gas, but the power of the sun, made so much sense to me, because mine was really a small project. I just needed to find the right temperature to melt that metal, but something that I don't have, you know, is like the space, or maybe, the resources of buying or getting the tank or cutting the tank, and, you know, all of these things are things that are very time-consuming. By the time I finish the project, and I was thinking, geez, I can use the power of the sun. That's how I came across with Green Power Science.
Okay. Cool, but
wow! Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. The interesting thing about videos, that when people resource them, is the more complicated a project is, the less likely someone is to do it. It's like if you buy a very complicated thing to put together on the internet, it might sit on your shelf for a couple years before you even decide to open it up. But so the simple approach is always a good a lot of times some projects are more complicated than others. It depends on, but the one thing that we've noticed is because there's a lot of everything's like how to do this, how to do that, how to hack things, and wading through a lot of the goofy stuff on the internet can be tricky, because there's it's hard to when we do a project, like we our videos are a little bit longer, because if we show something going through the process of melting or being cast, we go through the whole process. We don't do like a jump cut and say, ta-da, it's done. You know, we could do that. I've seen people, say that something's done, and if you don't really show the process, I'm not saying that they're cheating or they're, secretly coming in with a blowtorch when nobody's around, but that's one of the things, because it's the way that the people's attention span can be very short. They want to see stuff quick. They want to learn things in 30 seconds and get on to the next video. And that's that type of those videos do great. They go viral because they're quick and people can, but that's not really our thing. Is to explain it and so people understand why it's happening. So if and the neat thing about the knowledge of that is, if you know, well, I did this, and the reason that it didn't work the way that I planned is because this, and that's something that maybe I would share in a video with them. It can open their mind up to possibly a different direction, like with the same. Whatever they're working on, that you learn from not necessarily mistakes, but when things don't go right, anytime a project doesn't go the way that you thought, there's something to be learned from that, because you're getting a different result. So that's one of the neat things about that we try to share in the videos. Anything different that we discovered, even though it's something that we might never visit again in a video, we put it out there, and maybe somebody can pick that idea up and run with it. So,
I see that there's a lot that of information, of things that you have, and ideas and proven ideas that will be so well to see in the public. I hope that, you know, that to see you guys out there maybe doing conferences and putting those videos on a big screen, and you know, and showing the lens and explaining it to the people, that'll be an awesome thing. So I look very much forward to seeing this, because I think you guys are great, and it's all very much practical things that will help you you know, do good projects. I mean, these are little projects that you might be interested in if you are like in a, you know, I see the distillation of water quickly. I mean, it makes sense. It's something that really makes sense. It's a sign that makes sense, and a lot of us will love to do that. So if you were like open to visit communities and probably look into the things that they're doing, I mean, of course, for a cost, because nothing's for free, but you guys could be a very important asset to many eco villages out there that might want to better their systems, because it's all about, you know, green power science, and this, you can't get any more greener than this, using the power of the sun with your technology.
Well, thank you.
We definitely
thank you so much.
The nice thing about the we've actually had people, you know, I've answered their emails. They've sent us pictures of what they have and what they're planning on doing, and the thing one of the things that happens is I've like worked with colleges, like the professors and they've got PhDs, but they've never actually gone out and they understand exactly what's going on. They could write it down on paper and give you the exact figures of everything. This is the approach that I have, is more of see what you get and record your results. And so it's a nice nice way of doing it. They actually have resourced some of our videos just because they put what they've learned in book work. They've actually seen it. You know, they've never had the opportunity to go out and do it. So with a lot of the eco villages, and they'll send me like some of the ideas that they might have to heat a greenhouse in very northern area, and I'll give them some ideas of what I think versus trying to do what they're doing. And sometimes I'll say, yeah, your idea is good, and I would that's what I would go with. But we've helped people out through emails and through our website, through messaging, Skyping, and that's something that if somebody has a question, we definitely don't mind answering it. It would be neat to be able to go out and visit some of those places. That's pretty cool. I've seen some really really neat stuff on the internet with some of the eco villages. So,
well, I'm going to work very hard to make sure that if we need to fly you both guys out here, it will be possible. I know we only have about 90 seconds to the show, but you've used the power of the sun to heat things. Have you used the power of the sun to make them cold?
Yeah. Actually, the absorption refrigeration, which is what like RV trailers use for propane, they use a flame to heat the ammonia, and it's a little bit of a complicated system, but it's really not. I mean, it goes way back. But in a future video, we've got something called an icy ball, which your viewers can look up. It's just like it was made in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and it's you heat one side of it, you shake it around, and you have refrigeration for about 5 hours. It'll actually freeze over. So
wow.
It's just like an RV refrigerator. So it'd be like taking the propane burner off of an RV refrigerator, no gas to explode or anything like that, and heating the area that you need to with the Fresnel lens, and you have cold. So that's something that we'll be explaining in a future video. It's possible, and it's very it's actually really efficient.
Okay, folks, you've been hearing Dan Rojas and Denise Rojas from Green Science. We're going to have to do another show with you guys and follow your videos. Thank you very much for being on the chat room with us.
We had so much fun, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we really enjoy listening to your show, too.
Okay, so, folks, see you guys next time. Be blessed, be loved. Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.